very, very influential for our young ladies. And I think it's going to bear fruit and be very productive in the life of our ladies. And I appreciate Sister Brooke and Sister Julia being involved and coordinating this. And I just want them to come and greet you a little bit and talk to you a little bit about it tonight. And it serves them right because they have terrorized other people and made them speak publicly. So here we go. But we love and appreciate Brooke and Julia. Looks like we have a first-time guest that's going to go down in the water in Jesus' name tonight.
Praise the Lord, church. Yesterday we did have an amazing conference, ladies' conference, that is. It is a vision. It's something that we started 4 years ago. This is our fourth year. And the ladies, a lot of times people ask me if there's a theme, and we tell them no theme, and we pray about it, and every year it has just intertwined together. I mean, it's just beautiful, and people often ask us afterwards if there was a theme. Well, this year we've had about 3 or 4 people ask us, you had a theme this year, right? And we say no. What happens is God. It's God inspired. We ask the ladies to pray about it. We pray about it. And it's just a beautiful thing when God has his hands in it and not our own. And I would, I know that this ministry would not be able to flourish without the whole body. To me, this ministry is a perfect example of the whole body being a part. And I just want to thank, if you are a part, a teacher, a speaker, someone that hung the light, someone that hung up the 5 minute signs, will you stand up, please? Please stand up. Oh, there was more than that. Okay, here we go. really, the gratitude that I have for y'all, I just want to give them a round of applause because they make the ministry. The whole body, the whole church body is what makes this ministry run, and I'm just really appreciative of that.
Praise the Lord. Like Brooke said, we had a phenomenal conference yesterday. I love that it really is God-inspired in that God can just... We want to leave room for God to just move and minister however he wants everyone to minister. And I heard great things about our breakout sessions. I can't, just like Brother said, I can't wait to hear them as well. But I just really love that we're all able to be, the ladies we asked to speak, they're willing and able to be vulnerable and share whatever God wants them to share. Like they don't have to, you know, stick to a certain curriculum. And I'm just grateful for every woman that attended and everyone, you know, that tried to attend or is going to listen to it later. I really recommend you guys to at least be able to come to one because it really is just a phenomenal conference. So thank you.
And I appreciate our passion-based ministries and all the good things that are taking place in them. This morning we spent a little bit of time, but I think it's worthy. If you have served in the armed forces, I'd like for you to stand. We want to appreciate you. This is Veterans Day, and we'd love for you to stand, and we'd like to celebrate you a little bit here. We appreciate your service to the country. We appreciate the privilege of living in a place where we can gather and worship God without fear. And when you're in it and you've lived in it for a long time, you tend to take it for granted. But there are people all over the world that want to come here and that would love to have the liberty to worship God without fear. And it's not possible. And there are people that would love to be here to share in the bounty and in the privilege, the economic possibilities that are here for anybody. And sadly, the whole world can't come here. The whole world could do this if they would practice Judeo-Christian economics. The whole world could do this anywhere in the world. They could have this if they would break free of the things that deny the Word of God. But sadly, they don't. But aren't we glad and aren't we blessed to be a part of this country and to share in all the good things that are a part of it? And it's not perfect because nothing in this fallen world is perfect. But all you got to do is go spend some time in some third world squalor. And friend, when you come back, it makes you want to say, God bless America. And so we're glad and we appreciate all of you that have served and we appreciate your service to the country. And this Wednesday night, we talked about it a moment or two, but I'd like for Sister Dahlia and for Elliot to stand. They have in recent weeks, Brother Elliot completed his citizenship and passed his test. And we got a picture of that. There he is, standing in front of the great state capital of Alabama. And here's Sister Dahlia in front of the flag with her family. And congratulations to you. And we think it's wise and industrious and a wonderful thing that you've done. And it's a lot of work, and it's very expensive to become a citizen because of the abrigados involved. And but we are glad for you, and we appreciate you, and we honor the work that you've done to accomplish this. And we are a nation of immigrants, and we've all come from somewhere. Unless you're a full-fledged native-born American, you came from somewhere. You came across the Bering Strait some centuries ago or millennia ago. And we're all just a melting pot, and it's a wonderful thing, kind of like the kingdom of God. Praise God. Appreciate your prayers for Sister Ashley Trevino, and she's home, and Sister Jackie's helping Brother Noe and Sister Ashley as they recover. And appreciate all of your prayers. This week, we had a new addition to New Life, and Brother Mario and Sister Leslie went to the hospital. And Jeremiah is healthy and strong, and Brother Mario is very happy and proud, and there he is. Jeremiah. They got an Elijah, they got a Jeremiah, and they got a Mario. Prophets, and there's Big Brother. I don't know. Okay, there's the first one in the loop. But we are so excited and so happy for Leslie and for Mario. And it's such a treat, such a wonderful thing to watch people come into the kingdom of God. And I have vivid pictures in my memory book in my mind of Mario from like 14 years of age and up and in the old building on Ruffner Road and just watching him come in and plug in and live for God and then find a lifelong companion in the house of God. And Sister Leslie, I remember she used to come and sit right down front in the old building there on Ruffner. And it's just a beautiful thing, what the kingdom of God does in the lives of individuals. And I just get so happy and gratified being a part of celebrations like that, you know, when things come together. And I appreciate it. And so what a beautiful day to be a part of the kingdom of God. And appreciate all the good worship and all the good praise. Now, we have a group of people back in the kitchen that are cooking dinner for you or an after-service meal. And if you're a guest here, we surely want you to come. And if you've never been here before, and I know how it is being in a new place, just come and eat and break bread with us. And we would love to have you, and we've made room for you, and you're one of the reasons why we do this. And so we're all here at God's table tonight, and we're all sharing in the things of God. And this is thoroughly biblical and apostolic. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, and in the breaking of bread and fellowship and in prayer. And so tonight we're gonna break some spiritual bread, and then we're gonna break some natural bread. And I think chicken and dumplings is what's on the menu tonight. That, it's a little known biblical fact. That's what God gave them in the wilderness. It was chicken and dumplings. They called it manna. Manna means what is it? Because they had never seen chicken and dumplings in Egypt. And so when they saw it, they said, what is that? But they ate it for 40 years and thought it was really good. And so don't believe everything you hear. We're going to read tonight from Exodus chapter 20 and starting in verse 22. Don't you love the presence of God? How sweet the goodness and the mercies, all that God is doing. Exodus 20 and verse 22, we're making our way through the Old Testament. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. He came down on the mountain, and the mountain shook, and there was fire and earthquake and thunder and lightning and voices. They wouldn't go. They sent Moses into that. They wouldn't go. You shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, thy peace offerings, thy sheep, thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, places that I choose, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. I don't want it cut by the hand of a man. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Just make an earthly altar, or make an altar of stones, but don't embellish it and don't improve on it. Let's give God thanks as you're seated tonight. Let's give God thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God. We thank you, God, for the privilege of being in your house tonight, for opening your book and sharing your gospel and knowing the things of God. We praise you. Let it be seed in every heart and in every family. Let it bring a blessing. And everyone said amen. Praise God. And so we start in this passage. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, you have seen, Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. And so He's appealing to Israel and saying, I have demonstrated this. I have come down. It is not debatable. You know that God has come down to you, and I've come down to your world. I've come down to your level. I've come to see about you. I have condescended. I have come down to speak with you. And I've come not in a palace, not in Pharaoh's home, not in some monument made by men like the pyramids of Egypt, not in some empire's throne room, but I came to you on a rough-hewn mountain, an unimproved piece of real estate, something that the hand of man has never changed. I came down because I wanted it to be about me and you meeting, and not a place that's been embellished by the hand of a man. I want you to know that I've come down to see you, and I'm making myself accessible to you, and I'm making myself vulnerable to you. And he's prescient. He's prophesying. He's moving forward in time. He's going to come and open up himself completely to mankind or to Israel later on. But in this moment, God comes down, and he doesn't care what the surrounding nations think of Israel, and he doesn't care what Pharaoh thinks about Israel, and he doesn't care what Israel thinks about Israel, because sometimes you don't see yourself as God sees you, and God thinks enough of you to come down and see about you. And you may say, well, I can't go, I'm not worthy, or I'm not enough, or I've got too many broken places, or I'm too messed up to come into the presence of God. But God says, you see that I have come down to you. I want that to be imprinted in your brain. I think you're worth visiting. I think you're worth coming to see about. I've got the glory of heaven, but I've come to see you. I've got angels on every side, but I've come to see you. I've got perfect heavenly vistas to view, but I've come down to a rough-hewn mountain to see about my people. And he's made himself vulnerable. And by association, he said, I don't care who likes it or doesn't like it. I'm spending time with my people. There's a New Testament passage that has a little to do with this, Hebrews 2 and 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him of whom are all things. He made all things. And by whom are all things. He holds all things together. In bringing many sons into glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth, that's God, and they that are sanctified, that's us, are all of one. God came down to marry you. God came down to become one with you. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. God is not, nor has he ever been, ashamed of you. If he found you in a pig pen, he's not ashamed of you. If he found you at the lowest point of your life, he's never been ashamed of you. If he found you in the midst of your worst failure, God has never been ashamed of you. And he's telling Israel here, I have come down, you know it. I've come down to see about, let me tell you, the presence of God has been moving in this house tonight. God was here this morning, and God's been here in this service thus far, and he's come down to see you. And it doesn't happen because you're perfect, and it doesn't happen because you're worthy. It happens because God cares about you, and God is interested, and God's not worried about being associated with you. Praise God. When God came to the earth in the form of Jesus Christ, he didn't come in a very polished human form. On in 1 Corinthians 1, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty or noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and it really does. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Everybody say that no flesh should glory in his presence. He's not interested in what men can build and what men can do. He's interested in men that will let God build and let God do, and men that will come in simplicity and just embrace God for who he is and for what he's promised. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Get yourself up to a rough-hewn mountain. Get yourself up to an unimproved piece of real estate. Don't let natural things weigh you down or create conditions that modify your approach to God. Don't get hung up on what appeals to the natural eye or appeals to the natural heart, but rather find God in the raw. Find God in the elemental. Find God in the basic approach of man to God. Humanity likes to dress up. Humanity likes to dress up on the outside. They like to walk in artificial ornamentation. They like to wear expensive robes. They like to dye themselves and paint themselves and wear jewelry and flamboyant attire. But God is looking for somebody that will come just like you are and understand that your value, you can't increase or diminish your value by what you wear on the outside. God is looking for somebody that'll come meet him in an unimproved piece of real estate. late and just come as you are and be who you are in the presence of God. When Stephen's talking tonight about the tabernacle, if you saw that tabernacle from a distance, you wouldn't be impressed with it. It was covered on the outside with animal skins. Now on the inside, there was brass and silver and gold and precious tapestries, but that wasn't the value of the inside. The value of that thing was the fact that the glory of God was back in that back room. But on the outside, it looked like a humble Bedouin tent. It looked like a normal traveling tent of some shepherd or goat herd. On the outside, it was humble on the outside, but on the inside was the glory of God. And God loves this. He loves to conceal a thing, and he loves to come humbly and be powerful. And he wants you to learn that lesson. He wants you to learn how to do that. In that tabernacle plan, he uses a progressive system, increasing value of precious metals. You start with brass, you make your way into rooms that are ornamented with silver, and then when you get to the mercy seat, it's a solid slab of gold. And he's demonstrating to you that when you get into the things of God, they get richer and deeper and more precious as you go. Don't stop at the door, don't stop at the beginning. Some people struggle. Brother Stephen's talking about struggling with that sacrifice, getting it to the altar. The altar is the first step of coming to God. But don't stop there. It may be a struggle getting your life on the altar or getting the stuff on the altar, but keep making your way in. It gets richer and deeper and more precious and more valuable as you make your way in. Is there a witness in the house tonight? Does somebody love him more tonight than you did when you first met him? Is it more precious to you right now than it was when you first heard the call? But the real value of the tabernacle is not the metals and the rare things inside, but it's the cleansing of sin and the word of God and the promise of God and the provision of God and ultimately the presence of God in that place. When God himself comes to earth, he comes in the form of a humble, little, skinny Jewish man. He comes to Bethlehem, a tiny little town in Galilee, and he comes to Nazareth. One of his own disciples says, "Can any good thing come from Nazareth?" But he chooses that on purpose. And he comes to a carpenter's home, a simple home. And he comes to simple people, and he wears flesh on the outside. And if you look at it on the outside, it doesn't look like much. But on the inside is the power and the provision and the promise and the glory of God. He fellowships common people, and he fellowships them in common places. And you don't have to be anybody the world recognizes as special for God to come down and visit with you. God will come to you in the middle of the night. God will visit with you in a struggle or in a valley. God will come. All you got to do is begin to call on him, and God will come and see about you. I remember Jeff Arnold's testimony so vividly when he's talking about he didn't know anything about God. They were having marital problems. He's a classic Brooklyn, and he's one of the greatest preachers in Pentecost in my life. Some of the greatest substance you'll ever hear. And he talks about how God came down into his bedroom in the middle of the night, came to see him. He was unregenerated. He was living a sinner's life. But God died for every one of us, and God loves every one of us. And God has special knowledge regarding you and your life and what you need. And he's eager to bring that to you and communicate it to you. When he comes to Israel, he says, "Don't you see that I've come down to see about you? Don't you see that I've stepped down out of heaven and I've come to talk to you?" He inhabits, as the progression continues, he inhabits common people and like us. And in the New Testament story, he inhabits regular, ordinary people. You don't have to be anything the world would recognize as special for God to come and make his dwelling place inside of you. That is the plan of God for every man, woman, and child in this house tonight. God wants you to become his temple. And in in that, and as that happens, and when that happens, Paul has some advice for you. Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. You want to be great in the kingdom of God? Learn how to be humble. You want to be great in the kingdom of God? Learn how to be a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. Now, this is not a man. This is God. This is God coming down and God walking humbly and God walking lowly on the earth. And he's not only gaining access to us, and he could well have applied that text verse for us tonight. He could have well said, look, don't you see? I've come down to you to talk to you. He made of himself of no reputation, took on the form of a servant, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And again in Matthew, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. I don't understand strife. I don't understand bickering. I don't understand vain journeys into ego. I don't understand crossing swords with your brethren, your sister in the kingdom of God over these things when the God of all heaven comes down and he says, I am meek and I am lowly in heart. You want to get close to God? Check your ego at the door. You want to get close to God? Learn how to be a servant. Learn how to be meek and lowly. And so he begins to talk to them. God values simplicity. God values humility. And in verse 23 of our text, you shall not make me gods of silver, neither shall you make gods of gold. Don't try to make representations of me with things that you value, like the world values gold and the world values silver. And what he's saying is keep this thing real between us. Don't put anything between us. Don't make anything that you think is of value and put it between us. I've come down on a raw piece of unrefined real estate to meet with you real, in a real place, in a real encounter. And I don't want a bunch of stuff between us. He made that statement when he tore the veil in the temple. And he said, I don't want this between us anymore. I'm releasing my glory into all the earth, and anybody can come into the presence of God. Don't make gold, don't make silver gods, because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You bring your bag of bones, your humble external man or woman into the presence of God, because there's something inside of you that God is interested in, and it's not how pretty you are, and it's not how strong you are, and it's not how fast you can run or how high you can jump, and it's not how much money you have or what kind of house you live in. You've got a spirit down on the inside of you that God wants to adopt into his kingdom, and he wants to live forever with you. God's a spirit. You worship him in spirit and in truth. And in this moment on this mountaintop, he said, keep it real. Don't let it get refined. Don't let it get where you're making things that are representative of me. Deal with me in person. Deal with me close contact. Deal with me in a way that's not interrupted by other things between us. I tore my veil. Now you tear your veil. I tore the veil of my flesh. Now you tear the veil of your flesh. And you let your, you say, what do you mean? Don't come to him with your intellect. And don't come to him with your poise. And don't come to him with your refined behavior. Come to him in spirit. Come to him according to the word of God. It may be messy. It may not be pretty. It may not be acceptable to the world at large. But you come to God in spirit. People do it all over the world in soccer games and at football games and in stadiums, but they've forgotten their way, how to worship God in spirit and truth. Keep your theology right and keep your worship real. Don't let it become form. Don't let it become religion. It's always about relationship. spiritual relationship, spiritual worship. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise. Do it right now. Make a joyful noise. Give me a drummer. Give me a drummer. Give me a drummer. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Give me a piano player. Give me a piano player. Quickly, quickly. A joyful noise. Now, don't go. A happy noise. When people hear it, they ought to say, that's a celebration. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Be thankful, be thankful, be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Nothing between you and God. Nothing between you and God. Psalms 149. Praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord the new song. Quit singing the old song. Quit singing the Egyptian song. Stop singing the song of Egypt and the world and the blues and the sadness. Stop singing all those old songs. That's something that stands between you and God. Let your heart be filled with a song of your own writing and your own doing. Let your heart be filled with something where you wake up in the morning and say, God is a great God, and I'm going to have a great day, and I love serving him and his kingdom. And his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made it. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name at the dance. Let's do that right now. Praise his name at the dance. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. Or I'm not comfortable doing that. Or I don't know how. I don't know about all that. Well, the Bible said do it. See, you got an idea about how to worship God. But God said, look, I've come down to see about you. Now you get real with me. God said, I'm real with you. Now you get real with me. Sing praises with the timbrel and the harp. The Lord likes it. He takes pleasure in his people. He'll beautify the meek with salvation. We already had one go down in the water in Jesus' name this evening. We had two go down this morning. And the gentleman, the first time visitor, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. A two-edged sword in their hand. Come on, you go to war when you do this. We're down in Psalms 150. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. We don't have a trumpet. We need a trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Where's the guitar player? Play something. Just rattle the thing. Give me something. You don't have to play together. Give me something. Run that thing. When you praise him like that, it gets real. When you praise him like that, it's not all ecclesiastical. It's not all form and pattern, but it gets real. This is what people do at soccer games when they're excited. This is what people do at football games when they get excited. This is what really happens in the heart of people. And you gotta be real with God. God came down and God said, I've come down to see you. I'm real. Ashamed of you. Don't be ashamed of me. Get real with God. Get real with God. Verse 20. in our text, verse 24, an altar of earth shalt thou make me, and shalt sacrifice thereon my burnt offerings, thy peace offerings, thy sheep, thy oxen, and in all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. When you make an altar, keep it simple. Keep it earthy. Keep it humble. Bring all your sacrifices, but don't bring it in some big ecclesiastically appropriate setting. Don't think that you've got to walk just right and speak just right. Oh God, our most heavenly Father, we gather in your presence to impress all the people around, to say it just right, and to worship just right, and to lift our praises in a way that is pleasing to all the people who are gathered here. But that's not the way we praise God. God didn't come down in a stick. God didn't come down in a disguise. God came down real. And he wants you to be real. Make an altar. Make an earthy altar. Make a humble altar. Don't dress it up. And bring your sacrifice of praise. Bring your repentance. And weep when you bring it. And you might get all snotty. And you might get all messed up. But bring your repentance to God. Bring your praise and worship, and worship God with all of your heart, and dance like David before the Lord, and you're gonna get messed up, and you're gonna get sweaty, and you're gonna smell like a locker room, but that's all right. Be real with God. Bring it and make it real. Don't be worried about extravagance in the outward. Don't be worried about extravagance in the price of the clothing you wear, or the car you drive, or the house you built, or any of those things. Don't worry about those things. Let your praise be extravagant. Let your prayer be extravagant. Let your worship be extravagant. Let your giving be extravagant. Do all the things that you do on that earthy altar in spirit and in truth. Let's clap our hands. Let's bless his name. You gotta have an altar in your life. It needs to be a simple, humble altar. And you need to keep it real with God. Verse 25, and if you make an altar of stone, do not build it of hewn stone. Don't work it and shape it and make it just like you like it. For if you lift up your tool upon it, you've polluted it. You can improve on a lot of things. We've had church in a storefront. We've had good church. We've had church in a little dilapidated frame building that if I jumped, you moved because the floor was a little bit loose. We had church. We baptized people in what looked like a medieval torture chamber. You had to pick up the floor to find the baptistry. Baptized. You know, and we've had church in all kinds of places. I've had church in a Nipa hut in the Philippines. I've had church in a little clay building in a barrio in El Salvador. But I'll just tell you this. God will meet with you anywhere. Where you don't have to worry about how nice it is, how not nice it is. If you keep it real, God will meet with you there. If you can have a nice building, have it. If you can't have a nice building, then you can't help that. But you can always have real worship. And God will come. Don't make aesthetic improvements. Leave it rough. Don't dress it up. It's a place. Don't dress up that altar. You dress yourself up. You buy yourself a nice suit, a nice dress. Not you, the dress. You build it. You get what you want. You come to the house of God. But when it's time to praise, don't dress that up. Don't worry about what you're wearing. Don't worry about what people think. But get yourself real in the presence of God. Shake your neighbor a little bit and say, we got to praise God. Shake them again and tell them we got to be real in the presence of God. When you start to worship, when you begin to pray and it's real. When it's time to go to the altar, it's a time to be passionate. It's a time to open up the vessel, to break the alabaster box, to tear the veil of your flesh and let what's really on the inside of you out into the presence of God. You know what? God loves you like you are. You can be vulnerable with God. You close up with other people because you're afraid if they saw you like you really were, they wouldn't like you. But honey, God already knows how you really are. He knows the way you go. He knows you're waking and you're sleeping. He already knows. You might as well be real with God. When it's time to pray, when it's time to worship, it's time to weep. It's time to sweat. It's time to become disheveled. It's time to contort. Man, you look ugly when you cry. That's all right. Man, you contort your face when you praise God. That's all right. Have you seen those people that paint their bodies at the ball games? My God, you need to be passionate when you come to the house of God. Come on, it's time to weep. It's time to laugh in the altar. It's time to travail in the altar. It's time to howl in the altar. It's time to exult in the altar, to sing boisterously in God. The altar's not a place to be concerned with aesthetics. You don't want to worry about how pretty you are in the altar. When you get up out of the altar, you straighten yourself up and go be pretty again. But I'll tell you what, you'll be prettier after prayer than you were when you came to the altar. Praise God. Young man, you're not looking for a young lady that's all prim and proper and never prays. That was a wonderful string of alliteration. You're not looking for a woman that doesn't know how to worship God. And if she gets sweaty worshiping God down at an altar, get yourself a little something and dab her head and say, honey, that's exactly what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody that's not so delicate they can't worship and praise and magnify God. Go ahead and praise it, little sister. Go ahead and praise it, little sister. Be pleasing to God. Don't worry about that boy. Don't worry about what it looks like. Don't worry about it. Keep that altar real. Praise God. Clap your hands till it hurt a little bit. Yell until you rip something down in there. Lift up some praise to God. Yes. We're going to meet him at the door. We're going to be all dressed up, clothed in our right minds. We're going to talk to him and greet him, and we're going to use proper diction and proper English, and we're going to impress them with our friendliness and our education and our social skills and all of that. And we're going to act like we are just normal people. And when we're out among them on the job, we're going to be the best workers and the most respected citizens and neighbors and all that. And we're going to do that. But friend of mine, when we cross the threshold and we come into the altar of praise and worship and prayer, it's on. It's over. It's all about God. And it's all about being real with God. And if you don't want to talk to me after you've seen I've been real with God, I ain't studying you. God said, I've come down to talk to you, and I made myself vulnerable, and all I want is for you to have an altar that's an unimproved altar, that's not a dressed up altar, that's an altar that's just raw and rough and unimproved. I want you to be for real with me. I want you to lay your hand on somebody right now, and I want you to talk in tongues with authority. Don't hold their hands. I want you to turn right to somebody and look at them and just talk in tongues. Now, if you're the third man out, I understand. But I want you to pray for them. Lay that hand on them. Pray for them.
can't talk in tongues. Let God pray. Let God pray. You're authentic. Come on, you're genuine. You're a real apostolic. That's what God's looking for. That's what God's looking for. Praise. Praise God. Praise God. I love what I feel in the house of the Lord tonight. Love being a part of what God is doing. Isn't it outrageous that God has come down to see about us? Praise God. It's been wonderful to be with you today in the house of the Lord. So appreciate what God is doing in this fellowship and in this church. And I want you to go down and have some good fellowship and break bread or dumplings together. And that doesn't hinder nor dampen the anointing of God at all. Praise God. Praise God.